Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story began. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah. People told you you ain't seen nothing.
You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, well, my brother.
To kind of share some real positive things with you. You know, the better is yet to come, and we just got to be thankful. And I want to take this opportunity and thank my crew, the individuals that's the co-host and all the co-hosts on this show, because this is our anniversary. This is 1 year. We've been on the air 1 year. So I'm so excited that God blessed us to have this opportunity. So the best is yet to come with Talking Sports Plus. I am the host, Dr. Lois B. Smith. And again, this is a chance to voice the opinion and voice the thought of historical black colleges, universities, high schools, and middle school sports in the southeastern part of the United States. Now, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LB Smith Production. Hey team, I'm excited to have the full team tonight. I'm ecstatic over here being anniversary, being happy. We got the holidays coming up. It's wonderful Wednesday, hot day. So let me make sure I do the right introduction on this anniversary show, and everybody gets a chance to share their thoughts and welcome you. I'm gonna start off with the young lady of the show, ladies first, the millennial. We have to holler at her the right way. She hails from Central Alabama. However, she was up in North Alabama, up in Huntsville, but she came back to have some personal business. But she's with us, and we're glad to have her. And that's Coach Laura B. Smith.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be on tonight. It's the anniversary. We've been doing this for a whole year. So I'm ready to get started. Let's go ahead and get it popping.
All right. Thank you, Laura, for being with us tonight. And I'm going to jump to this next gentleman. This gentleman, when the co-host talked about this gentleman, but he was very busy. He's been very busy, so we're glad to have him back. We're excited. My frat brother, one of my frat brothers on the show, none other than a retired man, Coach Tony Stallworth. Shut down, Tony. Welcome back, Tony.
I'm back. You know, I've been gone for a long time. I almost forgot my opposition here. But let me tell you this. Retirement isn't a delicate transition, but I'm about to get there. I talked to Darryl the other day, and Darryl said, do or die. You don't see the night, don't come back. So I'm back and glad to be here.
We're glad to have you back, my brother. You know, we get a little feedback. You check your phone to make sure we're on time. All right, let me introduce this next fellow. This fellow's Dale from South Alabama. I'm going to say he runs from Dothan to up to Montgomery and wherever else you want to go in the state of Alabama, all the way back over to Troy. None other than our radio personality. I got to give the clap. Sarah E-Train Elliott.
What's up, everybody? I remind the co-host to please mute your phones if you're not talking. We're getting a lot of background noise from whoever's out there. So please make sure you mute your phones, guys, if you're not talking. Glad to be on the show. Glad to see my co-host, my friend, the one and only, I gave him his name, Touchdown Tony Star. We're so glad you're back. And by the way, we're planning a party for him, y'all. We'll get into the dirty details of that real soon. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome.
Thank you,
awesome. Oh, no. Last but not least, he hails from North Alabama. Born and reared in Montgomery. And he's a young man that got it going on up north. You know, he got him so he always tell him, you know, y'all got the best of me one time. But ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. Coach Tremaine Elliott.
How y'all doing tonight, man? Glad to be here. Glad we fool ourselves. Tony Stallworth, we glad you're here, baby. We glad you're here. Glad to be here,
we glad to have him. We glad to have all of you. We love this. This is anniversary, so we are family, so we're enjoying this. Now, if you want to contact us by email, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com, or you can tweet us, and each one of us, and we'll make sure everybody have one, and we have a Twitter account. That's, the show is Talking Sports Plus with the number one. Then we have at Elliott Darryl with the number one. We have Tremaine Edwards with the number seven. And at Kiwi_don't care, and that's Coach Smith. And we're going to make sure our retiree have one. We're going to make sure everybody going to have one. So those are the ways you can go through social media and contact us. And very excited. Again, call in numbers 347-857-4192. All of that is out the way. We happy to be here. Wonderful Wednesday hump day. It's time for some football. It's game time, y'all. You know, it's game time. It's game time. We're going to start off with some high school. All right, let's look at some things that occurred in the Montgomery Public High School kickoff classic. And I want some of us to kind of jump in there and share our thoughts of what we heard about what happened in the kickoff classic. Then we'll talk about the champions challenge. Then we'll talk about teams that went to the Cam Newton classic. Let's get it started. Let's make it happen, team.
I want to talk about what shouldn't have happened. And what shouldn't have happened is something that is tattooed on sports when high school athletes
Somebody need to kind of mute it or turn it down in the background. We can't hardly hear you, my brother. Go ahead on now. There you go.
Okay, I'm gonna talk about what shouldn't have happened. And what shouldn't have happened was bringing distractions at the expense of safety hazards, safety issues at a high school football game. You know, the High School Athletic Association and all of the medical advisory committees are spend a whole lot of time trying to protect the sport on the inside because it's a contact sport. Every time a parent allows their student or their child to go play a game, that's a risk going forward. And then you have these external issues like the issue that happened on the outside of the contest where it could be so. It was so detrimental to it could have taken someone's life. I don't understand where we're headed with that. And I think what we need to do now is to really put a lot of emphasis on maintaining safety, external and internal, because it's you want to send your child out, or you want to go out to a country, or you want to take your child out to a country, and you want to be safe. So we as a people need to, I mean, I'm like this, and Darryl, you may agree too. If you want to fire a firearm, go to a firing range.
Right.
That's right. When you looking at a situation like when I go back and reflect on how those student athletes were on the inside running for their lives, can you imagine how that can be with people trying to enter the contest or exit the contest or passing by? It's just it was an outrageous situation. I'm embarrassed about it, and I hate that the university got to take the rap for that, you know, because when you have the events downtown, you know, you just don't have that, you know, and this is the second time around for that. It needs a lot of attention. That's just my point on that.
Mr. Stallworth, if you don't mind, I would like for you to at least tell the listeners what happened in terms of the game and because some people don't know that's listening in don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you so much, Darryl. In the midst of the contest, I think Brother Smith, you were there. Fourth
yeah,
quarter,
I was there.
Right? 11 minutes into
yes,
the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And Carver is in the midst of our offensive, et cetera, and all of a sudden gunshots erupt on the outside of the facility. And when that happened, it's like everybody just like running for cover. And it led to ending of the contest. And I've heard from this point now that nobody got shot, but a young lady, a young teenager, a young girl or something did get hurt. But it's one of those situations where gunfire erupted and stopped the contest. Brother Smith, you might want to add to that.
Was this at Alabama State University, sir?
Yeah, outside
yes,
of
this was at
Alabama State University. Yeah.
Yes, it was at Alabama State University outside of the stadium. ASU was hosting, well, Montgomery Public School, High School was hosting a classic. And it was a game between Carver and Jeff Davis. Final score was, we want that to be forgotten. Final score was 19-3. The game was ended with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I was in the stadium on the side when the gunfire started. So sitting over there watching the game and hearing two shots fired, and you hear that like it's right within 20 yards of you. And you look over and everybody else stopped. The players stopped on the field, the officials, everybody stopped. And all of a sudden, two more shots came out. And everybody just took out running. And they all ran from the west side of the stadium, on both sides of the stadium, both. It's a north and south is where the bleachers are, but it ran to the west, from the west to the east side. Children being ran over. Little children, 4 and 5 years old, people was running over children. So it's a sad day when we can't go have fun and watch our young people play the game. And we have to talk about this because it was quite discouraging because I got calls and people know I was there because I was filming. And it bothers me because I want to be able to go to a game and bring it back to you through Facebook or Instagram, some of the things that are going on. But to hear gunfire look like it's 50 yards from me and everybody running, and we don't know where to run, but we run it. You know, I didn't run. I tried to get down as close as I could to a bleacher. I'm going to be honest. I tried to get to a bleacher because I don't know if they're shooting on the right or shooting on the left, but it shouldn't be like that. That's the biggest concern. But we don't want this to be forgotten. You know, the young people did work hard to participate in that game. And Carver was able to win the game and look real good on the field. Jeff Davis looked like they got a lot of work to do right now, to be honest. It just looked like they were just not there. But that shouldn't have ended that way. But it ended with Carver being officially named the winner of the game. So it was 19-3. You can jump in 19. But that's just some of the points about it.
And my concern, I apologize, Tony Starwell. I'll make my real sure. My concern would be, being that that happened outside the stadium, the issue of security may have to be looked at. I don't know just how much security they did or did not have. I was not there. But certainly the issue of security is bound to come up. And perhaps in that respect that we probably need to take a look at upping the security outside of the stadium. Back to you, Tony Starwell.
Well, that's exactly where I was headed there. I guess great minds think alike. I'm already have been in some type of conversations because the mayor works very, very, very closely with Quentin Ross, Dr. Ross at Alabama State University, because he wants, I mean, you're looking at a situation where if needed assistance for security is needed, then it can be made available because two incidents have happened in 2 years straight, and this is the second year of that opening event. And that is something that's going to take place respectively. What we don't really want to do is to blow this whole thing out of proportion, but by the same token, look at it. And what we don't need to do is to give the university a bad name because of. We have to look at that community surrounding and that area right there. It sits right into a situation where a lot of incidents do occur over there. And it's sad that somebody would pick the biggest stage to because it's obvious wasn't nobody trying to cause any type of harm on anybody in the venue. It just seemed like they was just using the venue as a means of sending a message. And that's sad. But security will be looked at. Dr. Ross is a very fine gentleman. I've had some good conversations with him during my tenure at the High School Athletic Association. He's at the best interest. One thing about him, he doesn't panic. He makes very respectable decisions, and he's going to work very, very close with the mayor and make sure they maintain security efforts for a situation of that nature. I mean, you prepare for those things that has been a continuously, and it's 2 years in a row.
Awesome. Good information there. Coach Edwards, Coach Smith, y'all have any thoughts in regards to that incident as well as the games that occurred during this kickoff class?
From what I can hear, I agree with everything Coach Stallworth said. I agree with everything you said, Dr. Smith. Who it hurt was the kids, man. You didn't give Jeff Davis a chance to get, you know, even though time was on the clock, it hurt. It really hurt them because they thought they could come back. I'm going to say that, Dr. Smith. But that's all I got for you right there.
Okay. Coach Lauren.
Yeah, this is the second year it happened. I was kind of skeptical to go to the game because it happened last year, and I was at the game last year when it happened. So I didn't attend both nights, Thursday and Friday, for the simple fact I care a little bit more about my safety than I care about watching high school football in that regard. So, but it's really a shame that these kids they're exposed to this at such a young age. A lot of these kids were dropped off, which means their parents were not there with them. So for a child to have to call their parents and say they're shooting, that's probably one of the worst calls I believe that any parent can have because they don't know if they're shooting at you or where you are or anything like that. So we as adults, that's who's out there being foolish with an adult. We have to we gotta carry ourselves in a better light. And we can't be conducting ourselves like that. So that's all I have on that situation.
And that's awesome. You know, like I said, take away where the game could have ended up. We don't know, but since it was Carl, you know, Carver won the game 19-3. And also we had Lee playing the following night when they up security, no incidents. So we'll applaud Alabama State University Police as well as the president and all the staff at Alabama State, as well as the Montgomery Police Department, the mayor, and all the county commissioners. All of them joined hand to make sure this happened. League won the game 26 to 15 over Park Crossing. So that was a good kickoff classic. It's, you know, week zero, a pregame week, however you want to, week one, however you want to call it. But unfortunately, we have to begin to talk about that. But this show is all about celebrating an opportunity to play the game. It's game time. So we want to make sure that, you know, all these things are out there so you can understand. You can call in and be a part of it, too, as well. That's 347-857-4192. All right, guys. We had several things to occur. We'll look at the Cam Newton Classic, where Lanier played in it. Did anybody have any information in regards to Cam Newton Classic? You know, we may have a final score, but any kind of festivity, I don't mean anything negative. We just said them traveling over to Georgia and playing the Classic. Any thoughts in regards to that?
I have a concern on that. I do realize that Westlake, Georgia, is one of the premier schools over there, and I don't like to put in any information I don't have concrete backing on. But I heard that Lanier's coach was not in attendance, and I don't know what that was all about. But that's an X factor right there. That you got your team traveling to Georgia, out of state, and the head coach is not there. Certainly, I hope it was a situation that negated an extenuating circumstance. So that's a fact. That coach has been very progressive since his tenure there, and for him not to be there, I think that may have been some points differential being 45-6. Not taking anything from Westlake at all, but that may be the downfall in that contest. That's just something that I heard from a very reliable source.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other thoughts in regards to that? If not, we're going to move forward with one, which I call a historical game that actually your city officially played, because I know they played as junior varsity. We had Pike Road, and Coach Stallworth can share some thoughts on that as well as anybody else about team. Pike Road had an opportunity, I would say, play that first high school game, even though I know they played some things, did some things last year. For people who are not aware, Pike Road is east of Montgomery. It was a town created. Now they have their own high school, their own school system, and they played their first game on last Friday night, and the final score was 6-8-0 over Calhoun. Coach Starr, can you kind of share the significance, or anybody that's said significant in regards to that game?
Let me go back a little bit on the Pike Road situation. Pike Road requested membership some 2 years ago, and what the Alabama High School Association does is allow you to go ahead and play middle school games or any games. It just won't count toward the championship program. So as Dr. Smith said or stated earlier, Pike Road now is an official member. What the Alabama High School Athletic Association does with respect is give them an opportunity to feel their way, feel the gaps, feel the holes, and find out what they need to do so far as being prepared to be competitive. So at this particular time now, you're looking at a situation where a lot of student athletes that may have been somewhat out of their zone being at Park Crossing and some of the other neighboring schools now are in the Pike Road zone, and a lot of people are moving in and stay. A very resourceful, very resourceful area. But let's go a little closer to that. Somebody needs to, and I hate to say this with respect, consider football at Calhoun. I don't think the right type of emphasis are put in place on football in order to give student athletes an opportunity to compete. Football is a very expensive game, and it can generate a lot of revenue, but it can also take a lot of other way too. So, you know, if you're not going to put what you need to, don't put those kids out on the field to be embarrassed, because I'm sure they was embarrassed mentally and physically. So somebody got beat up this day, 6-8-0. Somebody got hurt. Somebody got hurt the next day. So somebody need to consider football at Calhoun. It's not going where it needs to go. It's going the wrong way, and I think the leadership there needs to, and I hope somebody hear this, consider the safety of those student athletes down there and make sure that the community is getting the most out of that, because for a program to come in after 2 years. And I do understand there's a difference between the socioeconomic factors at Calhoun and Lowndes County and at Park Road. We all know that at Pike Road. That's a whole big significant difference. But what has been going on at Calhoun has been going on way far beyond Pike Road's emergence. So that's something that needs to be taken into consideration. It's embarrassing. That's the best point. And it's just...
Right. Okay, we're going to kind of take a step and look at the Champions Challenge at Crumpton Bowl. We had Thompson playing Jane Clemens. Coach Edwards, I know you shared some thoughts about Jane Clemens. I think they might be up your way up there in North Alabama. And we had Thompson. You want to share some thoughts in regards to that?
Yeah, I got some thoughts.
Don't nobody play no football in North Alabama, but who? I had to do that.
All right,
don't ask me to come back. You know why I don't come back?
Hey,
go ahead, somebody.
From what I heard, man, Jane Clemens came down, didn't do a good showing, Dr. Smith. came down, got beat to sleep. I asked, you know, what went on, you know. They said, coach, our secondary wasn't ready for what they were doing. So, you know, I said, okay, I gave them benefit of the doubt. And I watched the film, and it was more than a second. They were having blown coverages. And the men were running up the field wide open. So, I don't know. I'm going to say this, Starworth. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, they play Clay Chalkville in Madison. So
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna see how that works. That might be another thrash. So we're gonna see how that works.
Are you gonna mention that quarterback that's on that team?
You talking about Tua, little Tua?
Thank you. That's the common denominator. I don't know why we go all the way around the bush. The common denominator. He blew the damn coverage.
But
you should have said Tua and go ahead, Dr. Smith. Let's go to the next one.
Too long.
That James Clement, they thread water, man. It looks like they finna go up under, man, because this week they got a big game. It doesn't look good for them. They're playing DJ. I think the D lineman name is DJ Dale.
That's right.
Supposed to be going to Bama.
It
don't
Everybody's
get no easier,
to
man.
To
But that's it right there, Dr. Smith. That's all I got for you on that note.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add on that?
Let's be reminded that, you know, Thompson is a program that's on Murray. Thompson was the one that bought in your buddy from down in Spanish Fort. He set the standards of being the highest paid coach in high school, followed by, help me out, Dr. Smith, followed by Auburn. Then, of course, Hoover stepped up. I think Hoover coached Mr.
Yeah.
Penny Moore. And that
yep.
Thompson is a very, very, very uprising resource area. And you know, it's something about those areas when they start emerging like that. Some kind of way those great athletes have a tendency to sometimes just drift off in there. But I'm not in that business anymore, so it don't even matter to me anymore. I don't want to use the word recruiting. I'm not the chief investigator anymore. I'm trying to get Daryl to get you hooked back up on some radio business. I think that might be my trigger.
Touchdown, Tony. That's all. that was great. And Thompson did Tua. I mean, it's Tua Tagovailoa
right.
threw three touchdowns in the first quarter. It's not the first half;
right.
It was the first quarter. So it was over with before it got started. And then you had a second game on that, which was the first game on Thursday nights. You had Clark County versus Sweetwater, and Clark County won
right.
that one 20-3. So that was the championship.
A little bit of history in
that
game, Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Smith,
okay.
A little bit of history in that game. You know, the coach at Clark County used to be the winningest coach at Sweetwater, remember? And he left Sweetwater and went to Demopolis. We left Sweetwater and went to Demopolis. Then Demopolis got to Clark County. So it was a lot of history in that game between Sweetwater and Clark County. And you're looking at two very, very, very good programs. And, of course, you know, Sweetwater being number one in 1A and defending state champions. So that was a marquee game for that area down in South Alabama and some history as well.
All right. That's all right. We're going to kind of move to our historical black colleges and universities storyline. We want to talk a little bit about the Guardian Credit Union FCS kickoff classic that happened last Saturday at Crompton Bowl. I had a pleasure, an opportunity to go there and sit there and record some of the game. That was between a historical black college and university, which is North Carolina A&T Aggies, versus Jacksonville State University out of Jacksonville, Alabama. And the results of the game was North Carolina A&T won the game 20-17. That was the result. But did we get any information? Anybody want to share some thoughts about that game? The more we know of the historical black college.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. I just wanted to say I told y'all the king knows what he's talking about. The king does not play. The king knows, and I hail to the king because Tremaine called it like he saw it. And I said, you know what, Tremaine?
Yep.
I'm rolling my money with you, and I want to thank you. I'm sitting pretty. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
I'm glad somebody gave
awesome,
him credit.
Yeah, that's the king.
He needed that because ain't no football up in the north. He needed that one now.
Okay. All right. Before we move forward, we got a caller online, and we want to make sure we can give them an opportunity to share their thoughts. The caller with 0026, and I can tell you who it is, and this is one of our experts on our Monday night show, and that's Ms. Scarlett Black. Ms. Black, go ahead. I have you live.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Smith, and good evening, everyone. North Carolina A&T in Jacksonville. I'm an Eagle. North Carolina Central University is my undergrad school. And that's what A&T is, you know, is one of our big rivals. But I feel like the game had too many penalties. At one point, the total yardage, Jacksonville almost caught up with that in terms of penalties. And I think both teams starting out really had too many penalties in those first two quarters. What are you all's feelings about that?
Well,
undisciplined.
Penalties are very norm at first games of the season because it's about timing. It's about not scrimmaging anymore, about really playing against live talent. But in respect to North Carolina A&T, they had one touchdown call back, and it was a good call. But they marched up and down. They were 7-14 points differential over Jacksonville the whole game. I mean, it really was. And you're right about the penalties. Those penalties hurt both teams, but that was just simply more athletes on North Carolina A&T Central team than it was Jacksonville, and more speed. And again, those penalties, they are common at every level, even pros, at the first game of the season.
But the penalties were called, mainly most of those penalties were called after the ball was down to Wolf of Long.
And I saw the game. That was a lot of extracurricular activity going on. At one time, it got out of hand to a point where I think that if it was just words said, the official was throwing that's not something common you expect. You know, we can see false stars, penalty offsides, but after the player's down, you got people falling on the pile. You have people walking up to somebody after they make a tackle up in their face when you know the rules say you can't taunt anybody. And it was a little bit, it was more of a Spartan war, and they was fighting, trying to see who could intimidate the other team. But that is not uncommon. We don't expect that. That was a lack of sportsmanship, I think, on both teams. However, The officials got a handle on in the end, and it turned out to be a pretty decent ball game in the second half, but it was filled with a lot of extracurricular activity beyond the whistle. And that is not something is accepted or tolerated, and we all as coaches understand that, that that's going to be a lack of discipline, but the correction was made because the flags forced it to be corrected. So in the second half, we come out to see a little better game in the second half, which was, you know, back and forth. But in the end, it finally, you know, ended up in North Carolina A&T favor. But that is not something common we expected from it. Uh-huh.
Do you agree that all of those tangibles, all of those attributes you just named right there is a result of first game? I mean, even for officials, because you got some officials in some conferences allow certain things to happen. The MEAC may be a more of a freelance style of play, whereas in Jacksonville, and Tremaine, you probably can agree with this as well, there may be more structure. So second half showed that they got it together. That's what I think. You know, I think they got it together, and finally, and everybody came, the coaches adjusted, the players adjusted, the officials adjusted, and then you got, you know, and it became a better game. It was a good contest, and I know what to expect on cross conference play, first game, and all of that. And who knows how many officials might have been from certain conferences, you know, that had to adjust to each other. You know, it's a whole lot goes on to a game. Thank God for football being a long game because you do have a chance to adjust. Basketball, a little bit. If I ask it, it'll be over before you know it. You have to adjust the next game. That's why you get two a season.
Exactly. Awesome, huh? And again, Ms. Black, we thank you for joining us, and it's always good to have you on, okay? Thank you. Okay, let's kind of take a step and move it up. You know what we're coming up on, team? It's our anniversary, Labor Day Classic. Let's talk about it. Let's start off with Alabama State University and Tuskegee University. Give me your thoughts. I want everybody to jump in here and let us know about what you think and give your prediction.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Come on in. I like the way my brother gets in. Hello.
Let me get my two cents in now and get on out the way. Once again, the king has called it. I have put the money on the game, so I already know that the end gonna be ugly. And Tuskegee going to own that stadium after again this weekend. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Yeah, you need to go out the way there quick for that one.
All right.
We don't need to hear that.
All right, team.
Jump in.
Let's go. Yes, sir. Let's hear what you got to say, team, about the game coming up.
What I have is very short. Is that I kind of like what I heard Coach Edith say. First of all, he gave Tuskegee University a lot of credit for their consistency and being prepared for, if you call it a Marble Bowl or Thanksgiving Classic or post-game classic, whatever, if it's Tuskegee and Alabama State University, it's a war. He said something that I'm looking very, very much forward to is that experience and adaptation, meaning adapting to him in a full season. The next thing he said was that he felt like they can pass the ball with a lot more confidence. That didn't happen against Tuskegee last year. Y'all remember that, right? Tuskegee lined up in the box and stopped everything that at Alabama State tried to do, and hell, me, you, and Darryl can do that. So I think his game plan and his confidence and his adjustments, and give him credit now, even with his resume and what he did last year, he's 5-1 now. Regardless, he was dealt that hand on those losses, but he's 5-1. So he guaranteed another year anyway, because the worst he could be in 2 years is what, 5-6 or 5-7 or 5-8. Whatever, so I look forward to seeing. I like the fact that he is going to implement that passing game, and that has the tendency to give you an opportunity at all times, because it gets the ball down the field, and it makes the defense respect you instead of lining up in that box to stop the run. And I'm prepared to see that. And that's my thought on it. And I'll be there too, Dale.
I'm gonna stay on my predictions. It's a SIAC versus SWAT weekend. As we know, A&M playing Miles, and Alabama State playing Tuskegee. So I'm going with SWAT. I'm going SWAC all the way this weekend, man. I said Alabama State should win by Dr. Smith, what I said, two touchdowns? I said
You said two touchdowns. 28-14.
I gave them 28-14. I'm gonna stay with that score.
Are you betting? Are you just saying that?
No, I'm saying Alabama State will win by two touchdowns.
Wait, King. I missed something. I missed something last week. Perhaps I was so excited to hear you speak. I misquoted you. I apologize. I thought you were going with Skiggy. I need to make a call back out to Vegas and change some things real quick. I appreciate it.
Anniversary.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the SWAT this weekend. Big weekend, man. Ready for football to start, so just excited, man. See what these SWAT teams gonna do. As we know, Southern opens up with TCU, so we gonna see how that works. So that's it for me.
What about A&M and Miles?
Yeah, that's we can get to that next. But I wanted Coach Smith to jump in about Alabama State and Tuskegee before you go to that next. Coach Smith.
Yeah, I'm so glad everybody got some faith in Alabama State, because I sure don't. So maybe I can rub some of that faith out on me, Sad, when you see me. I'm for real. Especially when
right.
He get a ball. You say that. We'll see now. I do this every year. I'm giving Alabama State two quarters. If I don't like what I see, I'm gone. Now, if you got two quarters to prove to me, you know, if I'm going to come back, But all seriousness, I think this is going to be a good year for these kids. A lot of them were there last year through turmoil, and they stuck it out. So to see how they adapt with a full year of Coach Easy, it's going to be something nice to see. The excitement in the stadium should be amazing. The atmosphere should be amazing. I'm glad to be an alum of Alabama State, so I'm ready for Saturday to come on, so I can go ahead and see them and sadly hear about how bad A&M gonna lose the Miles. It's gonna break my heart, but we gonna see.
I like the way that Coach Lauren just spoke, and Lauren, let me say this to you. I have been a favorite of the Kings for so long. You know, you've been out for a while, and it's been me and the King for the last few weeks. But I like the flavor you bring to the table. I think I'm going to leave a phone call to Vegas off and roll with you, sister. I appreciate you.
I can say this about my goddaughter. Good thing she ain't the athletic director, because she sure got a short patience. Somebody has to be fired.
Right out the door.
All right.
She said, she said two quarters, she be gone. If they had it two quarters, she gone.
So if that happened two quarters, she says she gone. All right, that'll work. All right, that's awesome right there. Okay, let me give my prediction right quick. I really think this is, I did have some small tidbits of information in regards to, you know, the coach feeling confident. I did went to a gala pretty much where he was talking about, well, season ticket gala, and he was talking about how he felt about the team. He felt good. The quarterback was coming around real well, because that was his first year, last year, quarterbacking. And there are some positive things going on. The defense seemed to be on cloud nine with Pearson, which is Travis Pearson, coming from A&M. They fired him at A&M, so he's coming down to add to the positive part. And plus, Alabama State has its offensive coordinator back. Their coordinator was dealing with cancer last year, and he
was doing his chemo
and everything. So he's back, and he's pretty much at the point where he's comfortable with
being in coaching. So I see something different. Now, last year they just quit kind of early, meaning after they didn't score, they just kind of the game ended, and it was they didn't lose by much, but they still didn't play the way they scored. So I look for some great things. I'm going 20-14 as the final score.
Who?
ASU.
You just said
ASU.
Okay. You know what? I'll be near you. We always together together. So I'll be near you on that one.
Okay.
I might call you.
All right.
And I'm gonna need one of y'all to text me some scores because I got an event. I gotta be in Dothan, Alabama this Saturday. But I want y'all to text me some scores and let me know what the game is going like because halftime. I know if the score looks a certain way, Lauren is gone. I know I ain't gonna be able to get Tremaine on the phone. You know, I ain't gonna be able to get nobody. But touchdown
going to tailgate.
So somebody text me at halftime. Let me know if it's a good game. I know what we
got
to look forward to. But thank you, sir. Then back to you, Dr. Smith.
Yeah, awesome. And you know what? Since we're talking about historical black colleges and university, Coach Edward did mention about. It was mentioned about Alabama A&M and Miles playing in the Lewis Cruz Classic up there. And you were talking about SIAC versus the SWAC. So we'll look forward to seeing how that turned out. Coach Edwards gave us a good report last week. So he feel good about it. So he can give his prediction right now. We're going to jump over to Coach Edwards. Can you share about Alabama A&M and Miles College?
I'm going to say this. I don't know what Lauren talking about, us losing to Miles. Miles is an understatement, man. We're not finna lose to Miles, Lauren. We're not finna lose to Miles. I think we're taking the steps in the right way with this new coach, Coach Maynard. He's a great coach. We appreciate y'all for the help y'all gave us from Alabama State with Brian Jenkins. He's a position coach at Alabama A&M. He's doing great. Receivers are the best I've ever seen them. His son is a product freshman, true freshman. Will be on the field a lot this year. A&M is taking the right steps from what I can see. From what Spady put us through, I can see the steps that are going. I got A&M winning, I'll say 28-21. We'll get 4 touchdowns on them Jokers.
Okay. All right, team. Anybody else want to add to that prediction?
Is that the same Miles that came down to Alabama State for homecoming 1 year?
Oh yeah, same Miles.
Yeah, that y'all beat by 50. That team y'all beat by 50. That what you talking about?
Miles ain't bad.
But y'all beat them by 50 the year they came for homecoming, right? Was it not by 50? Dr. Smith won
it 50. By 50.
Was it 50? The only thing Miles had going for them was the PLM, the Purple Marching Machine. That's the only thing they had going for them at homecoming.
Oh yeah, they do that. They do that. Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all
here?
Are you gonna go? We want to run back a little bit before you get into. The NCAA football and I'll talk a little bit about the preseason the rankings going forward. We overlooked that a little bit. The ranking, high school rankings going forward.
Okay.
Who slipped, who moved up before we get into college.
Okay. Okay, before we get we go back, let me allow this opportunity and I'm gonna ask. Because the next game on this Labor Day weekend classic that will be played on Sunday dealing with Prairie View A&M and North Carolina Central University, I'm asking Ms. Scarlett Black to come back and share some thoughts about her school because that's what we're all about. We want to hear about everybody else's school. The call in number is 347-857-4192. Ms. Black, are you available to talk about North Carolina Central University?
Yes, PNC.
Well, you know, the Eagles fly. That's all I can tell you. And, we're looking for big things from them this year. We really are.
Okay. And they was doing well last year. They had a run,
yeah,
pretty good run, the year before.
Well, one good thing about it, they're going to get, Coach Smith, Dr. Smith, they're going to get paid. They're on ESPN, too. They're on ESPN, too. They're going to get paid.
Yes, sir. Some money going to be made on Sunday as well as those other days as well. Yes, so we look forward to
Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
What's your prediction about the ranking of Central and A&T and all these schools this year?
Okay. All right. And that's pretty much in line with college and everything. And if we remember last year, you remember for a while, North Carolina Central University was ranked up pretty high in the FCS, and I think it ended kind of flopped with North Carolina A&T. So they was ranked real because the year before they were the champions. The Black College champions.
Right.
And last year they had like a 20-game winning streak, and it ended up, I think, North Carolina A&T kind of edged them out. So if we're going to look at the rankings, we'll kind of look at those top five teams in historical black college and universities. And we're going to go back to high school, Brother Stallworth. But those top five teams that we think will be ranked out of these five, both conference or all three or all four conference, because you're talking about all four of the conference. Give your thoughts on that, any thoughts on that in regards to that. And let me start it off. I really think that Grambling will be fit to be tied again, so we'll just throw them in the top five. I will put in North Carolina A&T as well as North Carolina Central. And I also want to throw in that ranking Tuskegee University, as well as making sure that Southern have a place in it as well. That was five, and those my five right there. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Southern, if you're going to include them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be in my top five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Southern Grambling's going to be playing at the top of the game. So we'll put them in there. So any other thoughts from the team you want to share in regards to that?
Well, one thing about Southern, they in the top five with football. They damn sure be in the top one with a band. when they come up in your stadium, buddy, unless you cut them off, they don't quit. I love hearing myself some Southern. But I agree Southern will be in the mix as well.
Exactly. All right. Any other thoughts about those top five? We'll say that normally up there anyway, any other additional team can make number six or within the top five out of the team.
Hello, Dr. Smith, I'm going to go with I go with two MEAC schools. I'm going to go with North Carolina A&T, South Carolina State, and I get the two top tiers from the SWAC, Southern and Grambling. My dark horse will be my Alabama A&M University. I'm going to stay with number five them, and that's my top five.
I'm so glad you laughed at that.
I'm glad you called
him
a damn dog horse.
I'm not a dog horse.
I respect you. I respect you not when you said dog horse. That damn sure wasn't a dog horse. But anyway, that's always a classic. Anyway, that's always a classic.
Exactly.
Exactly. We got a whole lot of key-keying going on around here now. Whole lot of key-keying.
Coach Smith, you said that on that, Coach Smith. I heard you key-key, Coach Smith.
Yeah, because I'm laughing really loud because that was really funny.
That was a joke of the day.
I'm telling you, that was a joke of the day.
Dog horse.
One thing I can say to everybody that's listening, if you don't know the king has pulled a few rabbits out of the hat. Y'all might be laughing, but you might be crying later.
Hey, ain't no problem when the rabbit got the gun. You
Remember that, man. Your phone when the rabbit got to go. Yep. Go ahead.
All I do is answer your phone when I call you. That's all I ask.
Tempo.
That's all right there.
I don't want to hear all that come out. I didn't hear the phone ring. I had a missed call.
Thank you very much.
Verizon AT&T tell you about that damn missed call. So answer the phone.
Thank you very much, Coach Tony Starwork. Thank you very much to all of y'all laughing. I'm gonna give it back to Dr. Smith. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
I appreciate you giving it back to us, because now we're gonna take an opportunity. Make sure you call in and be a part of the show. We're having some fun. This is our anniversary night, so we having a great time right here tonight on Talking Sports Plus. Call in number is 347-857-4192. Let's jump back up to the ranking, the high school preseason ranking, as well as the ranking. And Coach Stallworth, we're going to kind of lead that off on the rankings dealing with the high school.
Okay. The latest poll rankings. Here we are with Class 6A, Sweetwater 1A, retained. But here's what you got to look at. Hoover. Let's go to Hoover. Hoover showed us in Class 7A, when they played Pinson Valley, which has one of the top ranked quarterbacks in Bo Nix, that they ain't no joke. The quarterback at Hoover, I'm telling you, 6'4", 190 man, threw for 4 touchdowns, and put away Pinson Valley like they were nothing. I'm through with that. But anyway, Briarwood Christian still at 5A. And number one, USM Wright, down in Mobile, 4A, Randolph County, 3A, Sweetwater, retained 1A, and because of the Penn State Championship, and Leroy at 2A. Now, with Tompkins, it's Indians up at 6A. That should be some good football when some of those inner-city teams play with Tompkins. We don't need to miss that. I like Vigo down in Mobile at 3. They got a chance to come up. They playing real well right now. USM Wright, the Penn State champions in 4A. I don't see but one team, and I got to share this with you. Hillcrest Evergreen played Greenville on Friday night and lost their quarterback, which is one of the top quarterbacks in the state, to a devastating ACL tear, and he's gone for the season. That's all right. The Wolverines go down to Greenville on Friday night, and that should make a difference down there. Now, I say this. Watch out for those Wolverines right here in Montgomery. They are not ranked. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about that reunion over there with Pope and Grisham, with all those coaches. I can just about name all of them right now. They're all successful everywhere, even the one down the Hillcrest. Everywhere they've gone, they've been successful. So look for better things. And I want you to hear me now. Carl is going to be in that rank in the next 3 weeks now, I'm going to tell you. And y'all can call me. I'll be glad to answer the phone. In 2A again, look out for Luverne. I'm not saying that because I'm in Crenshaw County, and again, I am. But they got a big one on Friday night. They got George Allen down, and I wish me and you was on the radio. I would love to pump that one up, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In 1A, Bentley goes over to see, and Darryl, let's talk about this a little bit. They go over to see New Brockton. New Brockton has been awarded a busload and busload of students, as well as student athletes, that cannot continue to go to Enterprise. Am I right, Darryl?
That's absolutely right, Coach.
And it's because they allowed those students to come over there, and I'm sharing this with you because this is classified information, because those students were paying a tuition to come over there out of their zone. But the rules state, clearly, if you deny them, they have to go back to their home school. So now, even though New Brockton is Class 1A, they're going to have a student population of a 4A school. And nobody can change it because classification is what? Is determined
every 2 years.
2 years. And this is the first of the 2 years. So that's going to be, when you hear the outcome of that game, and Brantley go there and you say, Nebraska beat Brantley, competing with Brantley, think about what I'm saying now, is because it ain't all the old Nebraska, it's the new Nebraska that got some of what? Enterprise. And Enterprise smart. Listen to this. They cannot compete in what? Or they have not competed in what? 7A. So to unload some of that baggage and go back where they need to be will put them back what? Down a class. Remember I said that too. Right. That's also classified information. You heard it from me. That's the way it is.
All right, then. Touchdown, Tony.
Did I tell you I was back down?
Yes, sir. You told me you were back, but I'm going to tell you something, Coach Tony Stallworth. If your phone don't ring, it's me.
I got you.
All right.
Have a great time tonight, 347-857-4192. Now, let's kind of look at some NCAA football right quickly. And we really at the time where we need to want to look at some predictions coming up this weekend. This is a big weekend, a very big weekend. It's the kickoff of week one. So we can just start. We'll start with Atlanta. We'll go over that Atlanta. We'll talk about Auburn University and the University of Washington. Everybody share their point of view, then make a prediction on how you feel the game's going to be. Let's start and make it happen.
I want to say this because I got to jump off and got to do some commercials, but I want to say this. I do see that Auburn winning this game this weekend. I think the prediction is going to be somewhere around 27-20 or 27-14, somewhere in that for Auburn. They have an easy one this weekend. I am looking forward to there's a lot of talk about Auburn being that dark horse that the King speaks about. So I'm interested to see how bad they blow Washington out. I appreciate you guys. I hope y'all have a wonderful show. Continue on. I'll talk with y'all soon.
Awesome. All right. Okay.
I'm glad Darryl got me off before you heard what I had to say. First of all, you got Auburn playing against number 6 Washington. And help me out, Dr. Smith. Was Washington the first team that Auburn played last year in the playoffs, right? Going down to the Final Four, right?
No. Yeah. No. They played Clemson last year, wasn't it?
Two years ago, Star Wars.
Two years ago. Right, okay. Yeah. Washington had a very good recruiting class. One thing I can say about Auburn is that game was a make it break it. They would never have been ranked at 6 if they hadn't had a good recruiting class, especially not being in the top 4 or top 6, right, Tremaine, from last year coming out going forward. So somebody knows something. So I look at Auburn having a struggle, but they can make or break their season, or they can make and break their coach's tenure at Auburn as well. Gus Malzahn, because that game is vitally important according to their schedule. So they won't see another opponent until they get down to, Georgia and Alabama. Is that right? Yeah, according to their schedule. So that's a make or break a game. Do I have a prediction? No, but I got a damn good hope. I hope they win.
You hope they win. All right. You got a hope. You're going to put my name, hope. All right. All right, Trey, you. Coach Trey, you were jumping in there.
I agree totally with Coach Stallworth with exactly with what he said. I don't know why Auburn think this is going to be a cakewalk, and a lot of Auburn fans think it will be, but I think it's far from it. Washington has a great quarterback. They have one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Some of the best receivers in college football. So it's going to be a fight, man. And if Auburn offense can't move the ball, and as we know, Auburn doesn't have that piece they usually have over the years. Auburn usually has a running back returning that is legit. They don't have that this year. So somebody has to make a name for themselves. So I think it's going to be a struggle game, Dr. Smith, Tony Stallworth, and Lauren. I just don't see Auburn pulling that one out like we think they are.
I don't either.
Okay. All right, Coach Smith.
But I hope.
Coach Smith, you want to jump in there?
Yeah. for some odd reason, these Auburn fans do believe that this is going to be probably one of the easiest games on their schedule. And I really can't wait for 2:30 on Saturday so I can look at them dead in their face and watch it hit the float. Because this is going to be a struggle. I do not see the receivers being strong enough. They don't have a running back. Cam Martin, I mean, it's not what they're used to. So it's going to be a struggle. I'm ready to see how they handle it. And if they can't, that Gus Bus is going to be packing up and going back to Arkansas State real quick now. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be around.
They're not going to take him back to Arkansas State. He got to go to the house.
Well, the house. Now, look, I'm trying to keep the man employed. You're talking about sending him to the house. I'm trying to keep the man.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Hey, he's enjoying
it. Hey, Coach Lauren, when they fire you in the NCAA, you have enough money to live 10 years.
There you go. That's great. 347-857-4192 is a call-in number. I still have Ms. Black on. You want to add some thoughts to that, Ms. Black?
Well, you know, Auburn is in my backyard, so, you know, anything dealing with Georgia, I have to go with Auburn.
Well, if they're in your backyard, you ain't got far to go for. You ain't got to go far either way. We ain't alone.
We have so far tonight. This is the anniversary. You can join us too, 347-857-4192. All right, let's get to that game in Orlando. University of Alabama and the University of Louisville. Give me your thoughts, team. Tell me what you think about that game.
What's the spread, Dr. Smith?
I think it's 3 touchdowns.
21?
I think it's 3 touchdowns.
Okay. I'm going to go with plus 31. I stay right around there. I know Nick Saban tends to come off the gas when he gets up by, you know, he don't want to beat people in the ground.
Hold up. How in the hell are we going to talk about a spread when we don't even know who the hell going to be under the center?
It don't matter who going to be up under the center. It's
like
going to be
that.
31
good
points.
Good answer. You got one day. You got one quarterback. Ain't lost for 2 games in 2 years. Been in 2 standard championships. You got one game and a half one. It don't damn matter. Carry on.
Carry on. All right. Y'all said that. Don't leave us out. We on the rolling time now. We're having fun and we love it. And you can do the same thing, 347-857-4192. There's laughter. We're enjoying it. All right, let's look at it. Lauren, you got a statement to make over there, and I'll get to Ms. Black because she's still on the line. Lauren, tell us what you think.
I got 2 things to say. 1, Roll Tide, and 2, Louisville, y'all might want to shut up. Y'all over there talking a little too much, talking about we going to do this and we going to do that. Do y'all know y'all did not have Lamar Jackson? Y'all running him out too much. Be quiet now, please. I don't want to see a massacre. Please be quiet.
Even when they had Lamar, they couldn't stop nobody.
All right, Ms. Black. Here we go.
Everybody in Kentucky.
I'm going with Coach Lauren. I agree with her. I think it's going to be Roll Tide. I think they got something to prove. They got some issues. And I think they're going to try to just got something to prove this weekend with everything that's been going on internally at Alabama, and I think that because Lamar Jackson's gone, and he's got some situations up there where he is now, where he is in the pros, but I think it's going to be Roll Tide all the way.
Awesome, and I agree with everybody, Roll Tide. We're going to look at Michigan and Notre Dame. Give me a thought on that.
Dr. Smith. Back up a minute.
Yes, sir. I listen
to the 2 females respectively talk about again, and let's go to Miss Black. Miss Black, you don't know me, but I can be a little bit annoyed. How in the hell do you think Alabama gonna win? You can't think a national championship team gonna win. They going to win. Ain't no think. Don't get mad with me now, but ain't no thinking when it comes to University of Alabama. When you're talking about a team that ain't even ranked.
Come on now.
You should be telling us how bad we're going to get the ass. Happy anniversary. I told y'all about inviting me back on the anniversary. I get crazy.
Well, didn't you set me up last week when we were talking about Clemson in Alabama, and you said 28 to 24. Did you tell me that?
Damn. I went home.
Okay. All right.
You'll remember me. Awesome. You're fine. That was down.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So I'm telling you, we have fun.
I know you're in North Carolina. Hey, I know you're in North Carolina, but don't ever use the terminology I think when it comes to Alabama.
I'm in South Carolina.
Carolina, period. You're not in Alabama.
40 minutes from Clemson.
And who in your back door? Who you say your back door?
Oh,
yeah, my back door too.
You say oh. I love it.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, but we at that time.
Carry on.
Give me that prediction. Notre Dame and Michigan. Then we'll get ready to kind of wrap this thing up. It's been exciting, but we're going to get that last prediction on Notre Dame and Michigan. What do you think, Michigan? Tell me what you think.
Both coaches are on the list. Both coaches, Michigan and Notre Dame. Too much expectation and not enough productivity. They have not gotten Notre Dame being one of the richest traditional schools that is in winning percentage. We all know the story on Michigan. Michigan got a chance now. Going forward, if Ohio State get blemished because of, we all know what has happened there, and that's something we need to talk about next week too. I got a lot to talk about on that one. And I know that the two females we have too will appreciate what I have to say with that, because it looked like something was being overlooked and something was being looked at. But, you know, that's what revenue do in football, and that's what it does with situations as well. But I think I would look at Michigan being a favorite because there's a lot more at stake at Michigan where there is at Notre Dame at this particular time. But it could be a good football game. So that, I look at it like that, a good football game. I don't give a damn who wins, but it looks like it'll be a good football game. I would never miss a Michigan Notre Dame game. They're always a good football game. I take Michigan in that game, though.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm going with Notre Dame.
All right. Got a Notre Dame, got a Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The other two?
I told Dr. Smith this before. If we lose, when I say we, if Notre Dame loses on Saturday, I'm writing a letter to the athletic director at Notre Dame. We need to get rid of Brian Kelly because I, as a fan, I am getting tired of having these terrible seasons.
You ain't got to write no letter. His ass gonna be gone anyway. You ain't got to write no letter.
Don't waste your time. Well, Harbaugh is not in a real tight situation either, because if he doesn't have to produce this year.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, they brought him in. It's going to be a miracle work, and if he doesn't produce some miracles, won't he be gone too?
That's what I said earlier. Both coaches is a must win for them, and one of them need to beat one of the other in order to get another year out of this. I'm telling you now.
Yep.
Game ain't going to end 2-0.
No, it won't end that way. Not today. Not tomorrow. That's awesome.
Mm-mm.
Coach Evans, you want to jump in right quick, and we'll get ready to kind of wrap this thing up in a little bit.
Yes, sir. As Coach Stallworth said, both coaches are on a hot seat, but I'm going to give Michigan that is right there. I think Michigan has a tad bit better athletes than Notre Dame. As we know, the quarterback has transferred from Ole Miss to play with Michigan. Shea Patterson was okay. Towards ACL, and we're going to see if he got any better this year with Michigan. But I think Michigan got the better team, so they should pull that game out. But that's a big-time rival game, too, to start the season off with.
That's big. That's what they want to play. They want to play the best. Now, I'll tell you,
We're getting ready to close this thing out. But let me, before we close it out, with each one of them saying their farewell to you on our anniversary. This has been great. You know, on Saturday, we got the classic over at the Alabama State University Hornet Stadium. We will attempt to broadcast live with a festivity at 10:30, from 10:30 to 11:30. Then we'll come back and do it 2 to 3 this Saturday. So we'll have an opportunity for you to stop in, and I'm sharing it with everybody on Blog Talk Radio, and I shared it with Instagram as well as Facebook earlier, as well as the team. You're available to get there by 10:30. Find them, not come by 2. We're gonna interview some people with some festivities, okay? So we look forward to have an awesome weekend. Now, let's kind of close this off, and I'm going to kind of send it up north to South Carolina. I'm going to let Ms. Black close it out for her end, and we'll come down and hit Alabama. Go ahead on, Ms. Black.
Well, I just enjoy the show, and happy anniversary. It was this show that, you know, I first called in, and I just love the banter back and forth. It's a lot of fun, and it's been a lot of fun tonight. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Ms.
So
Black.
And go ahead. Okay. All right. All right. Okay.
Huntsville.
We're going to shoot you up there.
Hey, glad to be here tonight. I'll be glad to come back next Wednesday with the statistics of the Miles and Alabama A&M game.
Make sure you answer your phone.
You're covered. I got you covered. I also will have statistics of the quarterback battle at Alabama. Who benefited the team? Who moved the ball? All of that will be up to par, but that's all I got for y'all tonight. Y'all have a good one.
Did nobody ask you to say anything about it? You trying to stir something up. You're supposed to be closing out. You starting some shit about Alabama.
We'll have it a few minutes. We're going to kind of close it out in a minute. All right, Coach Lauren. Let me hear about you, Coach Lauren.
Hey, he's trying to put some mess in the game.
Yeah, he put something in there. Coach Lauren.
Okay, so I had a good time tonight. It's always good to come on Wednesday night and talk sports with you guys. I'm going to be taking a little hiatus, so I'll be gone for probably 2 or 3 weeks. So I'll be listening but won't be actually on. So it's going to be really funny to listen to you guys next Wednesday. And good night.
Okay, awesome. All right, Brother Stallworth, it's on you to come out here and knock it out of the park.
I'm truly glad and to be back among you guys. I love what sports does. Sports bring people together. I like the fact that we can all discuss things and also value our opinions, and we don't get caught up into who's right or who's wrong. Thank you, Dr. Smith, for your agenda. I just want to say this. As we go forward, I just hope that our listeners understand that even though we may choose a team, we're for all of our schools, especially our HBCU, and because we're rich in tradition. And I hope that our listeners understood tonight how we feel about safety at our athletic events, and hope those that were not listening can get the word that we're not going to tolerate that. We're going to defend that, and we're going to fight against it. But as always, today, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome. I tell you what, it's been a great anniversary. You know, 1 year to get a chance to just share this vehicle with each and every one of you, but we want you to stay with us for many more years. You know, the best is yet to come. I want you to, the best days are yet to come. So keep that in mind. Now, again, Saturday, we're going to be over there to Alabama State University broadcasting live from 10:30 to 11:30. Then we're going to come back at 2 to 3 so we can catch some of these other people sharing their thoughts. We want them on the radio talking live, talking about the game, giving their predictions. So we're excited about an opportunity to share this with you all. You know, I always say the best thing we can do is have a hashtag. Our hashtag is keep on grinding. So we're going to keep on grinding with Talking Sports Plus, as well as doing hashtag the Smith Way. But, you know, it's one of the things I always tell everybody. I get so excited when I be talking to people. I be telling them how I feel. I'm so excited to be here, to have an opportunity to share this with you all. This is a vehicle for life, not just for now. So the thing about it, I tell everybody, you know, I love you, and there's a thing you can do about it. So you have an awesome night, you know. And the thing about it, I want y'all to keep this in mind. You know, he's doing great things for you. He's doing the right thing for you. So keep that in mind. Have a great night. I love you.
Great things for me.
Happy anniversary.
Then it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the
best is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
Care what people told you, you ain't seen
the best. You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, what a my brother, my brother, my brother. Best day.